Well, good morning. We have a lot of good-looking people in this church. Amen. I'd like to read a couple scriptures and then pray, and then we'll get right into our message. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." New King James Version says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, Lord. We pray that you'll take the words and that you'll cause them to stir our hearts this morning, Lord. That you'll make us uncomfortable in where we're at. And that you'll cause us to seek you, that you'll cause us to move forward, Lord. And I pray this will be life and health to everyone's flesh. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Today I want to speak to us about one word only, and it's seek. Yes. Seeking. Seek is the attempt to find something, or the quest to discover something, or to find something that's missing. Now, I got a little story I'll start with, but I can remember when I used to keep a lot of cows. I had a fairly good-sized herd of cows, and I bought these 10 cows, brought them to the farm, and was going to introduce them into the herd with the other ones. And not knowing, you know, you end up being, when you're a farmer, you end up knowing your cows just like your kids. You end up knowing them. Some people have names for their cows, you have names for your horses. Anyhow, I turned these 10 out with the other herd, and unto my knowledge, there was one bad ringleader in a bunch. And she thought everything looked better on the other side of the fence. She took the whole herd. And so we searched and searched. And she didn't take it just like one field over. Like they were like a few miles away from the farm. And like we were gathering and gathering these missing cows. And we were seeking everywhere, looking everywhere. Because they were, it's not like here where you just see a lot of fields. There's a lot of woods too there. So like they're just go. So you're seeking everywhere. So when we got them back, and I thought I had them all, I did the head count, one was missing. So then we went searching, and we searched everywhere. We were seeking. We had teams split up everywhere, you know. And I didn't want to lose that one cow. And I figured if anybody was going to kill that cow, it was going to be me and eat it. It wasn't going to die in the woods and, you know, the bears or the coyotes or the wolves eat it. I wanted that steak. And so, anyhow, I had prayed and was walking through the woods, and it was the strangest thing you've seen, and it was in a wet, marshy, you know, swampy area, and I seen this log laying around, like, lengthways. The tree had fell down, and couldn't see nothing. Walked right up, got ready to walk over, and there was a cow stuck in the mud, right up to its neck, just the head. So, needless to say, it was quite a job to get the cow out. We had to go get like a come-along, so it's like a winch. Winched the cow out. Of course, she didn't want to walk back to the farm. Well, we had to force her to. But anyhow, I'm saying that is because, you know, we seek things in life. And so there's a lot of things in life. And so my first point, I want to try to keep all my points really simple. But the first one is to seek. Don't seek self. Don't seek self. Now, I'm going to explain this a little bit. I'm going to read a scripture, 2 Timothy 3. I'm not going to read them all, but I'm going to read some of them. And it says, "But mark this, that there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than themselves. Does it sound like life today? There's a lot of things in that passage that seems like where we're at right now. You know, we're in the last days. I believe that. I believe that we are in the end times of the Lord. And when you look at these scriptures, it's talking about seeking ourself. Yes. It's all about ourself. And it says this right in this passage, that in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. What do we seek today? Most of us seek finances. We seek money. We seek new cars, the new boat, the new cottage. We're seeking after tangible things. Maybe we seek after clothing, you know. If you're, you know, a lady's probably into clothing more than men, you know. Like, you know how you seek after things? Sometimes you buy it and you say, did I really need it? But we're seeking after ourselves. God doesn't want us to seek ourselves. He wants to seek Him.
Yes.
He doesn't want us to seek all these things that are laid out in that scripture. There's so many things that are in that scripture that we seek. You know, we think of ourselves, we're conceited. You know, everything. It's very plain. You know, today, there's not much difference in the world than in the church. What are we seeking here in the church? Are we seeking things for ourselves, or are we seeking God? What are we seeking? We've blended in to our surroundings. We've allowed sin to live in our life. You know, I think Mitch and I went duck hunting a couple weeks ago. You know, and we put all the camouflage on, and Mitch had his face all painted up, and we were trying to blend in. And we were. We were blending in, so the ducks were coming in. Okay? We were blending in with the surroundings. But then we shot one, too. You see, we can blend in, but blending in is not good. I'm not saying we need to be crazy and step out among, but people should know that we're Christians. They should know that we know what the Word of God says. We should be different. We shouldn't be seeking ourselves. We should be seeking the things of God.
Yes.
It should be very evident. We shouldn't be blending in. But today in the church, this stuff's all blending in. And not just in church, outside of church. You know, our world. Everything is becoming socially accepted. Socially accepted. You know, I won't go into a lot of things, but you know, there's a lot of things that are accepted now. It's not, doesn't line up with the Word of God. There's a lot of people that, you know, they go to the bars every weekend. And they're supposed to be Christians. And they're bar hopping. You know, to me, I think that's not right. You know? If you don't like your wife, trade her in for a younger model. Get the new and latest version. But it's accepted now. It's accepted in the church. See, we need to be separate. We need to seek the things of God. We need to seek His desires and His ways. We shouldn't just be blending in. We should stand out. We need to stand out among the crowd. If we blend in, people won't know we're Christians. But you know, they knew that the disciples and the apostles were Christians. They didn't blend in. Today, we need to seek not ourselves. Seek not the things of this world, the Bible says. But seek the things of God. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek not your own. Seek righteousness. That's what God wants us to do.
That's right.
Is to seek righteousness. Second, seek a relationship with God. We need to seek a relationship with God. It says in Luke, it says that you should love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. It's pretty plain. We need to seek that relationship with God.
Yes.
Okay? We need to seek him. How do you seek God? Do you love God with all your heart? Do you love him with every fiber that's in you?
Yes.
The scripture, it's in Psalms, but we used to sing about it. As the deer panteth after the water, so my soul longeth after you. Do you long for God? Do you pursue God? Are you pursuing him in your life? Do you long? Do you love him? You know, I thought when I was dating how my wife pursued me. She was constantly chasing me, calling me. I had to have my mother screen the phone calls. It's that gal again. When you pursued your wife, what do? Or your girlfriend if you're here. You know, you're getting out of your home, you get shaved up. Now I guess right now it's not in. I guess you gotta have the scruff on to be cool now. When I was dating, you had to shave, right? You know? And you know, you showered and shaved and you know, you put a little product in your hair and put some brute on or black magic, or, you know, you're smelling really nice, and you got all fixed up, you know, and you got yourself all ready for her, and, you know, you're just counting the minutes till you pulled in the yard and picked her up. You went out with her. You just loved everything about her. You could sit and talk for hours about nothing, and you felt good. We pursued them. We dated them. We bought them things. We took them places. We spent time with them. We were into them. Are you that way with God today? You see, God wants us to pursue him and seek him in that same way that we would seek after somebody that we were in love with, that we care for, that we wanted to have a relationship with, that we wanted to build a life with, that we wanted to be committed our whole life. Are you seeking God in that way? Or are you seeking him for an hour, 15 a week that we talked about? Or are you seeking him, oh, I haven't got time today, Lord, but I think tomorrow at 2:15, I could fit you in for about 15 minutes. That's not seeking God. That's seeking yourself. Oh, yeah, I haven't got time for you this morning because, oh, yeah, I got a shower this morning and I got to, you know, get my breakfast and all this, you know. I have to do all these things, Lord. I got to get to work by, you know, 8:30. I haven't got time for you. Right? Are you seeking him? Then get up an hour early.
Yes.
Take some time. Get up in the middle of the night. Allow the Lord to stir your heart. When you're in love with somebody and when you care about somebody and when you desire somebody and you long for someone, it's more than 15 minutes or trying to work you into your schedule. If you're trying to work God into your schedule, then obviously you got a problem in your relationship. You got a serious problem.
That's right.
You got a serious problem in your marriage. Is all you can give your wife is 10 minutes a week of your personal time. That's the way it is in our spiritual life too. The more time we spend with God, the more we'll know him. The more we spend. But are you seeking him? Are you seeking that relationship? Are you panting like that thirsty deer is after that water? Is it a strong desire? Is it a desire that overwhelms you and overtakes you? Is it a desire that says, I can't wait, God, to get in your presence. I can't wait to have a few minutes with you. I need to spend some time with you before I do anything else in my life. I need to hear from you. I need to know you are my God today. Are you seeking him? It's simple. It's just that word, seek. Are you seeking the relationship? And you know, when you're seeking a relationship, it's just not a one-time shot. You know, if we only seeked our wife once and we caught her, we got that time, you know, in her presence and didn't do any more, it'd fall away. Our seeking has to be daily. Our seeking has to be consistent every day, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year. We have to seek him in all aspects, or your relationship will be divorced. You'll fall away. I challenge you today. Seek God first. Seek that relationship with the one we sing about. Seek that relationship with Jesus today. That's more important than anything in this world, is to seek that relationship with Christ. Number two. Three. Seek the source. Seek the source. The source is Jesus. God's the source of all things. But are we seeking the source? And in Matthew it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. In Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Our God will supply our needs. Now, supplying our needs, a lot of times we think of financial needs. And that scripture has been used for years by different ministries and always have slanted it toward finances. But God just, he wants to supply what? Every need. Yes. Every need in our life he will supply. And we need to get that in our head. He's our source for everything. You know, when we have a problem, we run to our friends or we run to, and I'm not knocking counselors, I think that's good too. But we always tend to run to somebody else before we run to the source.
That's right.
And I believe that doctors help us and we should use doctors. And I believe we should use counselors and we should use our Stevens ministers. But you know what? You have a direct line to the source. We know who the source is for everything. You know, God is the source for everything in our life. And a lot of times, we don't recognize that because we're out of fellowship with him. We're not seeking that relationship so tightly with him that we're not conscious that he's the source for everything. But when you're seeking him constantly, you're realizing that he's the source of everything you need. You know, if you're worrying all the time or you got problems in your life, he'll give you peace. The Bible says he's the peace that passes all understanding. Yeah. If you're living in fear, the Bible says to fear not, for I am with you. Everything we need. If you need a healing, the Bible says, I am the God that healeth you.
Yes.
If you need deliverance,
yes,
he'll deliver you.
Yes.
This is simple. We seek God first, and he supplies our needs. Because he's the source of everything. If you need a financial miracle, he's the one. But don't put the finances first and the source second. You got to get it straight. You got to seek the source first. The other stuff follows. Because see, when he knows where your heart is, when he knows where your heart is, that you want him more than anything else in the world, when he has you, he'll supply your every need. He'll supply our every need. Put them to the challenge. Put God first in your life over everything. Put him before the basketball. Put him before the golf. Put him before the shopping. Put him before your job. Don't quit your jobs. We all have to work. And there's nobody that believes in work any more than myself. But there's a balance there that comes. You have to know when too much work is too much. Yeah, know when not enough is not enough. God helps those that help themselves. But, you know, you have to realize that money can't control you. Things of this world can't control you. And when you can give up those controls, those selfish, that self thing, desire, it brings you closer to God. Because he's our source. It's really pretty simple. We crucify our flesh. We seek a relationship with our Savior. And we understand that our source of everything is Jesus. It's not hard, but it's funny how in our Christian life we get it all messed up. We get it all backwards. We put the things of the world, we put the things of life more important than the things of God. Think about if we could just put God first in our life. Think of the revolution that just comes within us. You know, it chases away all these things, chases the bad things out. You know, if we're so saturated with Christ, we're a living testimony. We're out there. We're talking to people. They're seeing it. We're not blending in. They're saying, I want what that guy has. This guy's not worried about this. This guy has peace. Wow, I really like being around this. This guy's not talking bad about everybody. You know, this guy's not seeking his own. People will recognize that. When we seek Christ first, and that's our total being, we'll be examples. We'll be witnesses to all the world. Your God will supply every need. Yes. Every need. Every need we need. Every need. If you need love, he'll give you love. He'll give you that peace. I just got to go back to that for a minute. I can't leave this for a second. If you're here today and you don't have peace in your life, hook on to the God that gives you peace. Yes. He will. He'll give you the things you need. He'll give you the love you need. If you're not living for God today, try God. Begin to seek him. Turn your life around. Turn away from your wicked ways. We're all wicked. We're all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But turn away from that. Come out. Be separate. And give God a chance to change your life. Seek him. Spend your time with him. Spend your efforts with him. Educate yourself like you would go to school. And educate yourself to be a doctor or a receptionist or a legal practitioner or a tradesman. Seek God in that respect.
Yes.
Educate yourself. Things will change. I'm telling you, you'll have a change in your life. Last point is seek a revival. I think we need to seek a revival. I'm going to read a scripture or two. In Chronicles it says, if my people who were called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven. And will forgive them of their sins and heal their land. Acts says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions and your old men will see dreams. We need to seek a revival. First of all, it starts in our heart. We need to seek a revival. When we're seeking a relationship with God and we're seeking the source on a consistent basis in our life, it will help spur a revival in your spirit, because you'll be so filled with God that you'll know that He's your source and that He has control of your life, and that every mountain you come against, God is on your side and He's with you. You'll know who your source is, and it will cause you to be revived in your spirit, and you'll be on fire. And when you're on fire, it causes a fire. You know, we need to create a movement. We listen to the U.S. politics, you know, and we got people saying, I'm a change agent. I'm creating a movement. Well, we need to create a movement of the Holy Spirit in our church, in our life. We need to create a revival in our services and in our city here and in our province. It starts with us. You see, we're in the last days. When that revival starts in us, it gets us excited. We can't hold back. We become infectious, just like a disease, and it begins to spread. But the fire of the Holy Ghost, when it gets in us, it's also like a wildfire. Yes. It's like when you'll see these fires in the States, in Western Canada, when it just burns acres. How many people here would like to be filled with the Spirit so much that we start a wildfire in KW? That it, we'll start it first in our own being, and then we'll start it in our church. And then it'll sweep outside these doors into these communities and the people around us. We're here to help start a revival. The Bible says in the last days, He will pour His Spirit out upon all flesh. How many people want to be filled with the Spirit of God? I'm going to tell you, the power is in the Spirit of God. The power is in being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the life-changing thing that will destroy the yokes of bondage in people's lives. It'll be what causes the revival. What are you seeking? Are you seeking things? Are you seeking yourself? Or are you really want to seek God and that relationship? And the source for our revival in our life. See, it starts in the life. Then it starts in the church. Yes. Then it starts in the city. And then it starts in the province.
Yes.
I'd love to see a spiritual awakening and a revival start right here with us.
Yes.
Maybe that's selfish. But I'd like to see it start from this church and sweep to BC, and sweep to Newfoundland the other way. If we'll humble ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. If we'll just humble ourselves.
Yes.
If we'll just call on the name of Jesus. If we'll just seek His face and pray.
Yes.
An outpouring of the Spirit will cause a revival.
Amen.
That's what we need today. That's what it's about. It's not about going through this world accumulating. It's going through this world spreading the gospel of Jesus, the good news, what takes place in our life, and starting that revival. How many people today want to start a movement? I want to be a person that starts a movement. I want to be a part of a change agent. I'm stealing lines now. Let's bring change to ourselves. Let's bring change to our church. Let's bring change to our city. Let's all stand. If you're here this morning, I want to pray for you. How many people would say, I want to seek God in a greater way than ever in my life? Amen. I'm going to pray for all of us in that respect. And I want to know too, if there's anybody here that hasn't accepted Christ, you know, this is the day of salvation. This is the day of salvation. Jesus can change your life, and you can seek the kingdom, and you'll be a different person. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You that we have the opportunity to seek You today, Lord. And Lord, I pray that You'll stir every heart in this place that you'll cause people to not be satisfied with where they're at in their life and with their relationship with you, Lord. I pray that you'll cause people here to want to seek your face, that will want to pant after the water, just like that thirsty deer, Lord. I pray you'll stir us to have a desire that'll just change our life. And Lord, I pray that that revival breaks out in us. Lord, I pray that your outpouring of your Spirit will fall upon every member in this place. And that day will be filled to overflowing. And that they'll take the power and the revival and begin to be a change agent in our community and in our church. Lord, I speak that over this congregation in the name of Jesus. I declare it in the name of Jesus right now. I declare it in the name of Jesus that we're going to become a change agent. Lord, I just pray that you'll bless them in their homes and everything. Lord, and if there's anybody here today that hasn't made you first in their life, Lord, I pray that they'll just simply ask you to forgive them of their sins and ask you to come into their heart right now. Lord, we just speak that upon anybody if you're wondering whether you're saved or not. Invite Jesus in your heart. We speak this all in the name of Jesus. I would challenge you today, this week, to spend some time with God. Make him your priority. Make him, put him before anything else in your life. Something that you know that means something to you, and that's been more important to you than, say, seeking God, put that on the shelf and seek God in that place. Do that this week. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
Amen. That was a powerful word this morning, one we needed to hear. I believe it's right where God has us. I think it's strategic message for us today. You know, I felt in the first service, and I feel it again in this service. When I was a boy, one of the verses that struck me was that if we seek the Lord with all of our heart, we will find him. If you seek him with your whole heart, and that's what this message is not to be divided, but to seek the Lord with our whole heart. And it's not that you might find him. You will find him. God will make himself real to you. You'll have that which you see in others and say, well, I wish I had that relationship. If you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him and you'll have him. And you know, the challenge that came to me in the first service and this service is as we're looking to these services next week. You know, Larry's last point was seek a revival. A revival. It starts in us, as Larry mentioned. It starts in our heart, our soul. We begin to put him first. We begin to seek him, and it starts there. But God wants it to spread way beyond that. And could we latch on to what Larry said? Or is it way beyond us? That it could start in this church and spread to BC? Oh, that couldn't happen. That's just sort of hyperbole. You know, that's just hyperbole. That's just too far. Is it? You know, we have a vision that without God, it'd be ridiculous. You know that God wants to move? It's the laborers that are few. He wants to move. He wants to show himself in this. If we were to preach in the name of Jesus, but we don't do it. Why? Because we're just not bold enough. And I was in that restaurant yesterday. And if it had been left to me, I probably wouldn't have said anything to that waitress. It took the person beside me who was bold to speak up. And when he spoke up, she was receptive and the invitation was received. And I'm just saying, God, give us boldness. Give us boldness that we can do this and we're not afraid. That was the first thing. And then they said, and Lord, would you confirm your word with signs following? By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. That's what we need to pray for. That as we move into these services and as we witness, that God's going to confirm his word with signs following. That miracles and wonders will be done in the name of Jesus. We have said, we've advertised, miracles still happen. We said we have 4 nights to experience the supernatural. That will not happen in a vacuum. That will not happen because we scheduled the services. That will only happen if we, his people, that are called by his name, will humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Then the Lord says, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sins and I will heal your land. From Newfoundland to BC. But it starts with his people who seek him. And I just pray that that's what will happen this week. I want to challenge you, everyone that's here, that you will pray every day this week for our meetings that start next Sunday. That you'll pray. You'll pray tonight. You'll pray tomorrow. Somewhere during the day, you'll just stop and say, God, grant me boldness. Give me boldness. And Lord, I want your miracle power. I'm praying that you'll manifest yourself in those services. Lord, confirm your word with signs following. And if we seek God and pray, who knows what will happen? We're going to release God's power, not our power, not our ingenuity. We're going to release God's power to do it. And so I'm challenging you. It'll be if we will humble ourselves and pray. If you'll seek him first. If you'll put aside some time every day this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every day, somewhere in the day, you'll just say, God, be in those services. And then be aware and alert to invite someone to come. How many would do that? How many will commit themselves this morning and say, every day this week, I will pray for the services that's coming next week? Just lift your hand. Hold it right up high. I'm going to stay here till I get every hand. Seek him. Seek him first. And let's pray. Let's believe for great services. Not just to have services, but for God to confirm his word. And that we'll see lives changed. And the revival will sweep our land. Lord, you see our hands. We lift them up. We want you to move in our midst. Work in us. Work in our own lives, Lord. And as we have appointed these services, we believe you have appointed these services. You are bringing Dale to be with us. Would you anoint him? Would you give him your words to speak? May there be a presence of your spirit in this place. And Lord, may we see miracles and signs and wonders. May we see many people give their lives to you, draw closer to you, that a revival will start that will spread across our land. Lord, we believe it. We pray it in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Let it be so. Let it be so. Keep praying that way. And yes, you can. I heard that spattering of applause starting. Well, thank the Lord and give him praise for what's done. It's been great to be here. Take this word with you. You're dismissed. And let's press into these things. Talk about it among ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen.